Hi everybody, this is Bina 007 and I'm here for another 10 minute movie review. And I've really been debating about whether to make this spoiler free or not, and I'm really going to try. So today I'm talking with huge excitement about Star Wars The Force Awakens, which I actually saw 24 hours ago, but it's taken me this long to calm down enough to be able to give a concise review. However, if you do want an hour and a half of spoiler-filled analysis and discussion, please check out my podcast at Vassals of Kingsgrave, vokpodcast.wordpress.com, and I'll put a link in the note for this episode. So, as everybody knows, Star Wars is set a long time ago, far, far away, in another galaxy, and the events of this film take place 30 years roughly after the events of Return of the Jedi. So you have this amazing mix of old characters that we know and love, like Han Solo, Princess Leia, C-3PO, RTD2, Chewie, Luke Skywalker. But these are also complemented by some of the fan service favourites like Admiral Ackbar. But really, the events of the story are about the new generation of characters who are struggling, as ever in Star Wars, with a battle between good and evil, as encapsulated by the pull between the dark and the light side of the Force. On the light side of the Force, we have our two heroes, Rey and Finn. So when the movie opens, we meet Finn. He's a stormtrooper, but he's been brutalized by battle and decides that he wants to bug out of the dark side of the Force, and he helps the Resistance's greatest fighter, Poe Dameron, to escape from the new Death Star, which is like a big death planet. And so he gets shot down over a Tatooine-like planet called Jakku and meets up with Rey, who really is the heroine of this film. She's played by Daisy Ridley, and it really is a stunning breakout performance, with not a little superficial resemblance to a young Keira Knightley, it has to be said. But she's a heroine for a modern generation, very much in the manner of Katniss Everdeen. She knows how to fight, she knows how to fly a ship. She doesn't need her newfound friend Finn to hold her hand while running away, but they make a wonderful partnership. And they're also joined by the new RTD2, a little droid called BB-8. So the plot of the film, basically, as in the first film, A New Hope, sees these two young people trying to get the droid back to the good side, to the good base. And I won't say more about the machinations of what goes on than that. So they're the good people. On the bad side of the Force, we have a new evil emperor called Snoke. We have a new sort of evil military villain called General Hux, who's played by Donald Gleeson, who is in many screen roles, usually as quite a charming figure, and it's quite sinister seeing him appropriate the sort of evil Nazi military genius role. He gives one rousing speech where he's telling the sort of the evil stormtroopers, right, we're going to make one final push, and it's absolutely chilling, so kudos to him for pulling off that role. But the person who's now in the Darth Vader role is a young evil lord called Kylo Ren. And he's played by Adam Driver, and it really is a fantastic performance. And the reason you know this is a fantastic performance is if you contrast it with Hayden Christensen as the young Anakin Skywalker in those awful prequel movies. Because in a sense, they're playing a similar character. Adam Driver is playing a man who has chosen to go for the dark side of the Force because he sees it as powerful. He's evidently not in control of his emotions whenever something happens to thwart him, unlike Darth Vader's very cool, calm, just killing someone quietly who's disappointed him. What Kylo Ren does is sort of absolutely terrorize a computer console with his lightsaber. He is very much enraged. He's very uncertain about whether he has the strength to complete his mission. And he is, in a sense, battling with the light side of the Force. In doing so, he might come across as a little bit whiny, but I think it's a great testament to the strength of this film that he doesn't come across in that way, or that it doesn't undermine the film in the same way as that terribly whiny Anakin Skywalker role killed the prequels. And maybe it's to do with the strength of the dialogue in this new movie. In a sense, everything to do with this movie is in strong contrast and context of those prequels that were so horrible, that were CGI heavy, that had hammy dialogue, an over-convoluted plot, characters such as Jar Jar Binks that were borderline racially offensive. You can tell that J.J. Abrams wants to get back to the what made the original movie so fantastic. So in-camera effects, the gritty lived-in world, it feels authentic. It feels like we're in a planet that has been lived in, and all that is wonderful. He also has a very strong visual eye, so the early scenes of stormtroopers raiding a village feel authentic. They feel like an embedded journalist is taking you into the action. And there's a wonderful confrontation later on in the movie that I don't want to spoil, but when it comes to that, and you'll know when it's there because it's supremely intense, just look at how he uses the setting of a sun to then throw a certain colour range over that scene at a pivotal moment. It's really visually beautiful. And his wonderful visual eye is, as ever, complemented by John Williams, who really is as much a creator of this amazing world as George Lucas, I feel, with his amazing score. Although I would have to say it was a little bit disappointing for me that, you know, in the original Star Wars film, you have this very specific theme for Darth Vader, a very specific theme for Princess Leia and all the other characters, and you know it as soon as you hear it. I just felt that Kylo Ren and Snoke needed a specific evil theme that we didn't really get. I don't really know what Rey's theme is. And so it's a great score, but I felt it wasn't pushed forward. And there's a scene in the new movie that definitely is analogous to the cantina scene, legendary scene in A New Hope, which again, I felt the music was a little bit weak. So overall, as you can tell, I found this movie exciting. It was great new characters. I want to know what happens next. I'm totally satisfied as a true Star Wars fan. But that's not to say that one couldn't criticize it if one wanted to. And I think the major criticism one would make is one of fan service. Has J.J. Abrams been so petrified by the virulent opposition to the prequels that he has made a movie so derivative that actually it's not pushing forward the franchise at all? And because I don't want to spoil the plot, I cannot say to you in the ways in which it echoes the first, but I think when you're watching it, it'll become apparent. Now, I didn't personally find it grating. I am a fan. I have been served. There are certain little echoes which are there, and you just think, there's no other reason for that to be there. It doesn't push forward the plot or character, but it makes me happy. And whether that means the movie won't live up to the test of time in the same way as A New Hope, I don't know. But I feel he's earned the right to do that. I feel that he was in a very difficult position as director after the horrid prequels. He needed to re-establish his bona fides, Disney's bona fides, as people who love this series as much as we the fans do. And I'm hoping that now that he's done all that, as we move into the second and third movie in the series, that the directors can push it forward into new narrative territory. I think the other criticism that one could justifiably make is that there are certain characters who maybe don't get enough screen time. And again, I don't want to spoil the plot, but there are very good characters, very good actors who, one of in particular, plays a large role in the trailers, doesn't get much screen time. But I'm sure, again, that will be developed. And if you think about it, again, I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses for J.J. Abrams, but I do think you have to understand that he's both balancing a wide, fully established cast of old characters and then bringing in a whole new cast of new characters. And it's probably of necessity that the movie can only focus on two of three of those unless it becomes, otherwise it would become incoherent. So yes, there are flaws to this movie. I think the score could have pushed forward, the narrative structure could have pushed forward. It is very derivative, it is fan service-y. I am a fan, I love that stuff. I had goosebumps, I was on the edge of my seat for the first half hour. I never really settled into it. I'm going to see it again. I think it's a great, great addition to the franchise. And speaking to other fans about where they would rank it, I mean, for most people, Empire is still first, A New Hope is often second. But for many, this is now their third favourite film, even above Return of the Jedi, and for some of them, above A New Hope. So that's strong praise indeed. And I think we've waited so long for another Star Wars film we can love. It feels like the franchise is in safe hands at Disney. And that's a wonderful feeling to have. So thank you very much for listening. Like I said, if you want a spoiler-filled discussion of this film, then please do go ahead to vokpodcast.wordpress.com and you can listen at your leisure there to all the spoiler-filled analysis of who these new characters might be and what their level of force sensitivity and parentage might be. In the meantime, the movie has a 12A certificate in the UK. It has a runtime of 2 hours and 15 minutes, and it is on global release. Thank you for listening, and may the Force be with you.